back to Talking Points with KPI, episode number 67. So today we are back with the regular KPI crew. We have Dan, Eric, and Curtis. So today we'll be going over why the lesson model is hurting youth players. We've talked about on this couple topics before in different podcasts, but today we're going to go over the overarching methods of why we think this stuff does not work. So just to begin, the traditional model of one-on-one lessons is holding back many aspiring players that need to be at a better place to development in a better environment. We can kind of touch on it just from an aspect of how we see it, but how do we think lesson model has kind of just diminished the aspect of development?
Can we start off with the current model?
Right? Yeah.
I play for a rec team, I play for a travel team, play for a high school team, whatever it may be. I have my high school coach, my travel coach, my rec coach. I have my mom and my dad. And then I have a gap between where I want to be and where I want to get to, and where I currently am. So the current model is I gotta go find this person to fix me. Fix my swing, fix my throwing mechanics, work on my catching drills, fielding drills, speed drills, whatever it may be. I gotta find this guru, this coach. And a lot of times that coach ends up being your travel ball coach, also ends up being somebody who writes the lineup. And so there's some influence and some pressure there to, I've heard this verbatim from a player, if I don't go work with that person, they're not going to like me, so then I won't get to play. And those people will charge, $50, $60, upwards of $100, $150 per lesson?
In this area, yeah, $100 is kind of standard, yeah.
Right? And so then the player does this cycle of, I play in games, I don't play well, I go to my lesson coach, try and get fixed, feel good in my lesson, go back to games, don't play well, and we do this over and over again. And it's this has been around. I mean, I went to lessons when I was playing, so this model is not new. It's been around for an extremely long time, and the success rates for baseball players and softball players together are poor, so the model doesn't work.
Very true.
I think the first big issue with the lesson setup, and there's a lot of issues that we'll go over, but it's coach-centered. Like, that whole experience is centered around that one guy that's supposed to help me or fix me. And we're like the exact opposite. Like, we're athlete-centered. Like, the systems that's created and the athletes engaging with the system is what's going to make success. In the lesson model, that guy determines my success. And so often in baseball, most especially on the hitting side, that lesson guy positions himself as the authority or the reason. So if you don't see me, that's why you went 1-for-12 that tournament. And then if you did, or if you went 1-for-12, you need to see me more now. Okay, we need to go a little deeper. We got to do some more advanced things. Or if you went 6-for-12 in that tournament and you're on top of the world, it's like, yeah, see, it's working. Come see me more. And it's just, that's just not really how human development works. And that's what's so crazy about the lesson model. And it's something I've talked about a lot. It's just, it's so against what the rest of the way society works. You don't go to one person to run a business, or you don't go to one person to make a good product. Like, it's an ecosystem, but for whatever reason, parents want to think that that one person, is supposed to do it. And a lot of these guys are really good. They know how to feast on anxiety. They know how to create a sense of authority over these families. And it's not really how human performance should be designed. It doesn't follow any science. We know that there's better ways to do things. We've really kind of been trying to educate people and try to buck that model a little bit.
I would throw Noah's tagline. You remember say whenever we're gonna piss somebody off, if you were offended by this podcast and you're upset about this, then you're the person who's taking advantage of children.
Look in the mirror.
You're taking advantage of families and children who have a desire to get better. And you just want to make cash on the side of the table to basically offset your hobby, which is coaching. And that's being brutally honest. It's very common where you're a travel coach, you're a high school coach, I do lessons on the side, I get paid a bunch of cash under the table, and you can make very good money doing it, but there's no way to tell are the players I'm working with, are they actually improving, because it is that roller coaster.
Well, it's funny though. I would be okay with it, if you admitted to what you were doing. You know what you're doing, but a lot of these guys go, no, I'm not doing that. I'm doing what's best for the athlete. And it's like, well, you know you're not. How could you say that you are, even though when you know you're not?
I can't even tell you.
That's the craziest.
How many lessons I've seen, and prior to KPI, when we had other facilities and we had guys doing lessons in there, it's monotonous, flipping, line drive to the back net. Good job. do this, yeah. And it's just so brutal, you know. And it's like, it's okay, then here, and then they walk away, and you know, line I've stole from Dan a lot in the assessments is like, that's a transactional environment.
Yeah.
You know, like you are making a transaction over that 1 hour. Give me $100. I work with you for 1 hour. Go away for a week. Come back. Give me $100. That's not how human development works. Like, that's not how performance works. You know, but like, that's what people think should, you know, should happen.
I think the two counterpoints I always have, like, okay, we're doing this for the rest of the athlete, or this works for them, is right away you could do your lesson at usually they're 30 minutes or 30 minutes to an hour. You could do a 75 minute lesson with 2 to 3 kids and charge them all less money in a small group environment. They may pay less money. You actually make more money because now you have 3 kids paying $50 versus 1 kid paying $100. Coaches refuse to do that. And it's, and this flips to the other side because parents really believe, oh, they need the one-on-one attention. And that is a huge fallacy from the standpoint of, in every other experience, what they get to high school ball, they get to college, both baseball and softball, if you get one-on-one, it either means you are broken, you're hurt, and you're with an AT or a doctor, or like, number one. Number two, you're extremely important. The coach is pouring a lot of resources into you. But other than that, like, it's going to be small group. It's going to be one-on-fours. It's going to be a practice environment. And if you are addicted and stuck with, well, if a coach isn't working with me, I can't get any better, that's the mentality you've been raised in from 5 to 18. You're going to be set up for so much failure. And it results in this simple statement: coaches don't like me. Oh, the coaches only care about those players. They don't care about me. It's like, no, it's just you don't know how to survive on your own because you've been, your parents have created this fake ecosystem of, well, if I pay somebody $100 and they say that you got better, well then you got better, you should play more.
Yeah, and like, it goes back to the environment piece. Like, everybody, and we've got it, we've talked about it before on certain podcasts, but like, everybody who comes into this place says they love KPI as a whole. When you go to lesson models, usually you'll have a kid go, I like that coach. Like, it's not, everybody is the same. We all communicate the same way to create an environment where the athlete comes first and they can love this place. They don't just get to go to one guy for an hour and then sometimes they don't like him, sometimes they don't like, they like him or whatever. They come here and they have 2.5 hours to make sure that they get the best development possible.
We'll just, and I'm going to let Kurt go after that because we've been icing him out here, but I got something. You know, think of like a junior high, middle school kid. All right. How many of those kids are frothing at the bit to go to their lesson? You know, like, they want to go hang out with their friends. They want to go to parties. They want to go to a game. Like, that's what they get excited for. They get excited for engaging competitive environments, not like, you know, some one-on-one with some old dude that's the, you know, oh, good job, you know? Like, so just think about, again, like, think about human development and what makes people go. Like, that's the environment you should seek.
Yeah, and that's the big thing for me is the human development part, right? Our school system, right? It's one teacher to 30 kids, right, in that environment. That is what has shaped American society with education. They feel that's the best route for a kid. Now, there's certain needs that need to be met, and that's why there's different therapists, right? And so it's about culture and the experience for the athlete, whereas here we're athlete-centered. Kids come in here, they know what they're going to get with their peers every time. It's going to be a fun experience, it's going to be a competitive experience, and they're going to get better, whether they know it or not, right? That's just the environment we have created here in our small groups. In the lesson model, you know, there's very, very few that are doing it out of empathy and care for that athlete. But there is 95% out there in the lesson model that are doing it, you know, they got to pay their bills, so it's money-centered, you know. They're doing it for ego, for their own ego. It's very up and down. It's a roller coaster, right? Just like Eric said, you know, if a kid goes 1 for 12, it's because you didn't see me enough, or you went 1 for 12 and now you need to see me more. You know, it's very hot and cold. And the big thing that separates, you know, our model versus the one-on-one traditional lesson model is progress reports. You know, if we can't back anything up with factual information, you know, how can the parents or the athlete know that, you know, they're getting better, you know, in their environment that they're training at? So I think that's the biggest thing, you know, is people need factual based information to know that they're actually getting better, you know, within their development.
That's the part. I mean, I could really just destroy this all day. I know.
Let it eat.
Like, if you go to a lesson, you say this all the time, if you go to a lesson, show up early and stay late. If the early lesson and the late lesson, they're going through the exact same stuff. All right, start on the T's. All right, go here. Like, you are wasting your money. If you show up to a lesson and your kid does not warm up at all, they just hop into the cage and start throwing, like, that is a huge waste of time and a huge injury risk. If your kid spends more time picking up balls in between seven rounds, because it's a time delay tactic. Oh man, I ran out of stuff to do today. I don't know what I'm going to do. So we're just gonna pick up balls. Like, it's simple as, like, from a lesson, if you got 30 minutes, you should spend all 30 minutes getting better. You shouldn't, like, if you don't have enough balls in the cage to be able to get through the entire 30 minutes, and your kid has to spend time picking them up, like, you're literally wasting your time. I could go on and on. I think the other is, do you really want to trust one person's opinion? If there's no video, if there's no tech, there's no blast, there's no hit tracks, there's no feedback other than one person, you are putting all your eggs into one basket and trusting that one person's opinion on your child and where they're at. And what ends up happening is, though, if you don't tell them, like, that coach is going to be heavily incentivized to tell you and be nice, to tell you things you want to hear. Whereas in this building, because of the approach that we take and how we have centered it around the athlete and then use tech as feedback, we have to be brutally honest with them because the numbers don't lie.
No, for sure.
Yeah, and I think that's a big thing, is the perspective, that is hearing these different voices, right? In a session here, we have anywhere from 8 to 10 coaches in that session. So, one, you know, the athlete is getting, you know, 4 to 5 different perspectives per se, right? And it's not that you're, you know, you're hearing it, but you're not really taking it in and running with it. It's, you know, I think all of us can speak from experience. Is, you know, we've learned the bad way to do things. We learned the good way of doing things, but it's because we've had these shared experiences of hearing from different coaches. So the one traditional coach of just hearing it from him, that's the only perspective that you're going to get as an athlete. So my biggest thing is you know, go learn from different coaches. Go learn from, you know, different trainers, you know, and take the perspective that works for you as you get old. Obviously, as a youth athlete, you know, it's not up to them in a way, you know, their choice. And so you have to go learn the right way to do things in a way and the bad way. And then as you grow as an athlete, you're like, wow, all right, I heard about 20 different voices in my career. Well, 4 of them I really liked, and I'm going to run with those. And then that gets into your routine and how you're going to build as a player. But that's the beauty about in here, you know, is the kids have access to more than 5 coaches per session, you know. So,
well, think about the contrast in those two environments, a one-on-one model versus our model. That one-on-one coach, how do we know what his background is and what his educational levels are? Oh, he's certified by this thing? Like, yeah. I have every certification under the sun. I haven't learned so little in those certifications, and I've learned from Dan, and I've learned from Chase, and I've learned from Kurt, and I've learned from Justin and Cam. Like, I've learned so much more from them than I have in 15 certifications I have, and I have all of them, you know? That guy's not talking to anyone. He doesn't get to bounce ideas off anyone. He doesn't get a different perspective from anyone on this athlete. Like, this guy's stuck. Athletes get stuck all the time, right? Like, okay, what else do I have to tap into? It's a one-trick pony setup. They have one trick. Maybe that works for some kids. Maybe, you know, maybe they're really good at this certain thing. And then in here, where it's like when a guy gets stuck or when a guy gets hurt, we talk to each other. Like, you know, like we, there's an ecosystem in here in play where, like, hey, like, we're going to get, like, some varying perspective, and sometimes we don't agree. Sometimes Dan hands a guy off to me, or I hand a guy off to Dan, or like, I'll tell Justin, like, hey, like, I'm struggling with one of my dudes right now. Can you kind of, you know, like, and that's that's learning, that's advancement, that's progress.
But, and, like, with that is, how do you know, like, if it's from a mechanical standpoint, whether it's hitting or pitching, like, how do you know that that's the limiting factor? If the limiting factor is movements or feels or my mechanics or my approach, all of those things, yes, they're valuable and important, but how do you know? You have to rely on this one person. And across the board, majority of lesson coaches don't have certifications.
Yeah.
Overwhelming majority is, I play at this level. Mm-hmm. And I, that one bugs me, because there's plenty of extremely talented athletes who have no business coaching. There was a video about this talking about in America specifically, we've gotten addicted to almost the status of, oh, my kid gets to work with this person.
Kid
gets to train with that person.
Or even the other side, the claiming of that.
Yes.
That's gotten worse, I think.
And so the basically you have athletes training future athletes when in reality you need a coach to coach future athletes. And there's a huge gap. There's a big difference of being a coach and being an athlete. Just because you've experienced something, yes, there's a value you can bring to the table, but you have one perspective. You have one lens that you can look through, and it might help some athletes, but it's going to fail an overwhelming majority of athletes. And again, the numbers don't lie when we look at kids, you know, not making the high school teams, kids not making their college teams, kids not making, you know, they just, we see it over and over again where athletes get addicted to going to lessons and getting fixed. I think that's another mentality problem. Like, you are actually telling your child they're broken. Then you got to go get fixed. And there's somebody else, some outside entity that's going to fix you. But in reality, we got to give ownership to the athlete and give them control over their destiny.
And think about, you know, let's stay kind of in professional terms, you know, like return on investment. All adults understand what return on investment means. So I'm going to invest $100 a week into this coach that can't prove their methods work, that can't replicate a game environment, that can't make it competitive. Okay? Like, that's not a good ROI. Okay, ROI on something like, you know, what we do, and you look at our monthly prices, it seems like a lot, but then when you break down exactly what you get and the per hour and the number of coaches you're exposed to, and oh, I get to get in a game-like environment every time, I get to be coached by 8 to 10 experts in their field that have certifications, that have degrees, that are, you know, programs are designed by people with higher level education, you know, and I get to train right beside all the best baseball players and softball players in Northern California. That's going to make me raise my game up a little bit. That's some return on investment.
I think the money part, I think, is another one. I've been thinking about that. But you pay, let's just say, $100 for a lesson. You do that once a week, that's $400 a month. There are 160 hours in the week, so times that by four. So 4 hours in a month of the 168 that's times cool. four.
Yeah,
you have nothing to do outside of that time. You have no drills. You have no strength training. You have nothing to get better other than in this hour, I'm going to impart knowledge and fix you and get you all dialed in. But the other 167 hours in the week, good luck. Like, nobody's going to have success.
Yeah, you're basically banking your whole future on 20% of training.
No, not even 20%. We're talking about 0.001%.
Crazy.
4 hours of, like, 600 plus hours.
That's
like, you
crazy.
Really think that's a good investment, and do you think it's gonna work? Like, anything else? Like, you're just going to work on math Tuesdays at 5 o'clock for an hour, and then we're gonna test
what?
You on calculus.
Yeah, then what?
Exactly. but you don't have to do it any other time. And I think that's where parents say kids are lazy. Kids aren't lazy.
Yeah.
We are creating an environment where I only work on things when I'm with that person.
Yeah.
I work on my hitting with my hitting coach. Work on my fielding with my fielding coach.
Well,
work on whatever it may be. And so it's just the model is broken and it's terrible.
And to stay on that point, to kind of flip it to the coach's side, that coach only gets to work on those coaching skills with that athlete. So he's basically doing the same training for his coaches. When a little inside baseball here, but at KPI, before any drill or whatever, before it gets taken to an athlete, coaches go through it first, which I think is a very rare scenario. We test and proof that these things are going to work when in all reality, and it just kind of came to me, a lesson coach just gets that 4 hours to work on his coaching, and that's it. Like, he doesn't get that.
Let's even be more brutal. They're scrolling on Instagram on Sunday night, trying to find drills to do.
That everyone does.
And/or they find some other hitting guru that they like and resonates with them, and starts doing the same drills as them.
Yeah. Well, let's lean into that kind of, you know, the development side of things of this. All right, so think, you know, obviously we're technology based. All right. We don't only have a ton of technology that there's no possible way a lesson guy could afford because, you know, like, you know, they don't do enough bodies, you know, even the best. So they don't have a lot of tech. And if they do, it's, you know, it's one thing. The leverage of that technology. Think about how we leverage technology in here. We create leaderboards. All right. We have recruiting profiles that have all their tech automatically on there. We're able to create baselines. Like, we know our high school population averages this. We know our college population averages this in this metric. So then we're able to program better because we have all these baselines and all these normative data. And we're able to leverage the technology we have to an ultra high level because of the bodies we have in here. So it's just a system that keeps feeding each other, and we can keep improving it because we have it. Whereas a lesson guy, again, like, he doesn't have that volume. He doesn't have the bodies. He doesn't have the tech to leverage it in a way that's meaningful.
You want to know what else they're missing?
Yes.
Accountability.
Oh, for sure.
The only person who can hold them accountable to them actually getting kids better is themselves. Whereas, like, you know, a couple weeks ago, we sat down as a staff, a portion of the staff, and we were like, this session, the way it's set up, is not good. We need to be better, because we can hold each other accountable. Just like if Kurt sees this, you know, the strength side, I'm director of strength, and he says, hey, kids aren't getting stronger. I test their vertical jumps for all the youth players, and they're not going up, they're not improving.
Cool.
There's an accountability system that's built in, and the data allows us to do that, where we do massive reviews every summer, every spring. We're going to look back and say, did we make kids better, and were we better than ourselves last summer, last spring?
So I want to touch on that, because that's a very, and this happened between you and me, actually. When I first started helping out with the hitting here, you stopped me in the lesson and said, hey, I need you to stop giving that cue. It's not helping anything, and then we'll move forward, and things got better. Talk about how, and I guess you can call it a trust in communication, or a tight-knit group of people that are able to work together without intention of feeling like, Curtis is just trying to show me up in front of the kids, right? Because I could have taken that way. How do you feel that environment and the coaching staff has elevated this place, like, development-wise?
Well, one, if I didn't like you or care about you, I would have just had you stay with it, because the more and more you give answers to these kids, the more and more you'll find yourself going down a hole in about 3 months. So the best thing to do, you know, for an athlete, and that's what we do here, is to provide them with an environment and drills to give them movement that you want without telling them anything. So you put them in a drill, and that's all you do. You know, until that kid approaches you with a question, we're right here to answer you, you know. But the full experience here and culture we have created here is we prepare on the front end to go through the whole cage setup on the hitting side, to give them environments, give them certain angles of what we want to accomplish that day. And so once we attack the day, you know, the coaching answers are last, right? So we want to observe the kid. Right? See how it's playing out. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. You know what? That's when conversation, you know, leads to. But the more and more we give answers right out the gate, right, the faster, one, they're going to get stuck more, because all they're going after is what you're giving them. And then you guys are going to find a barrier of like, all right, well, not only is the athlete stuck, but as a coach, I'm stuck. So the best thing you can ever do is provide them drills and see how it plays out. You're going after what it is, whether it's a stability, whether it's bat speed, attack angle, launch, whatever it may be. But you're providing assistance without giving them answers. And I think as a whole, even in education, the best teachers that we ever had never gave us the answers. We had to work for it. We had to prepare, right? And it plays out. You know, the proof is in the pudding as the athlete goes and comes about it.
We've been very hitting focused. If you're in a pitching lesson,
yeah, no, that's true.
And you're doing pitch design, and the guy is either catching you for whatever reason, I don't know why anybody in their right mind would catch bullpens. Like, I won't catch a single person. Like, I don't care.
I just don't understand how you can give technique tips
when you're focusing
you're
on the
ball.
And then on top of that, you're just using IDAR. Like, you're using your own eyes to say, oh yeah, that curveball looked good. Oh, that slider looked good. Like, I don't care if you are the smartest pitching coach in the world. Do you read, like, and you are extremely confident, you have all these kids that you've worked with, look at all this product. Like, would you really not just, hey, like, I have a machine that can give me more insight, can help me more.
A lot more.
Like, would you go, and so I was going to circle with this. You pay $150 for a lesson. Right now, to go see a physical therapist cash, you're going to pay them $150 minimum. They are a doctor. So you're saying that you're paying the same rate that you would to a doctor, and the person uses no tech. Would you go, if you broke your arm, would you go to a doctor and then they say, hey,
no, I have more eyes.
Yeah, I think it's broken. Like, can I get an X-ray? Can I get an MRI? No. Just trust me. I know what I'm doing. I've worked with hundreds of guys that have broken their arms. I know exactly what's going on here. No, you're gonna go get an X-ray. You're gonna go get an MRI. We have to hold these people to higher standards, and we have to hold them accountable to what's going on. I think we focus so much on the hitting side, or on the pitching side, it's like, there is no way. Like, if you throw over 85 miles an hour, it's too fast.
Yeah.
It's flat out just too fast. You can't tell.
And so this question will be for Eric. I wanted to kind of go a little inside baseball here, but right? We talk about these qualifications, and Dan mentioned earlier how easy it is to kind of hop into this lesson model. Creating the business that you have, talk about how hard, I mean, it's either very hard or you got very lucky, right? To understand how you had to get through these coaches to kind of sift through.
I mean, there's two sides of that. Like, one is like the experience side. Like, I used to give lessons when I was 22 years old and I was just getting into coaching, and I stopped quite a while ago. But it's like understanding like that side of things and that mindset, and really why you give lessons is kind of what we're talking about. But then more importantly, the second side of this is when Dan and I kind of started to put our brains together to create this. We evaluated the market, which was dominated by lesson givers and travel teams. Okay, like that dominates the market. We decided to go the exact opposite direction. And that was in a very intentional business thing to do. It's like, hey, like, here's what the market's doing. We don't want to do what the market's doing. We don't want to compete with the market. Okay, we're going to create our own market.
And like you talk about all the time, you created your own niche.
Yeah, we created our own niche. We created our own ecosystem that we dominate now. Now people are trying to be like us, you know? So that was the mindset. It's like, hey, like, there's a better way to do this. There's a chance for us as a business to truly create something unique and special. Let's go all in on it, and that's really what we've done.
I think it was probably, I've never given lessons, as weird as it sounds, and I think it's because I was a strength coach.
Yeah.
So, and I hated personal training. Like, one-on-one personal training is like, I would rather just I'll go to the dentist, hopefully my wife watches this. Yeah. I would rather go to the dentist and get my teeth worked on than do a one-on-one with anybody. And I joke sometimes when we have kids in here and it's just, it's not busy, and it's like, hey, you're getting one-on-one right now. Like, lucky you. And so I think that there was that. And I think the other is that with us in our S&C background, like, the problem at the youth levels is not a skill issue. It's a physical development issue. It's a body control. It's a coordination. It's a strength. It's all of those things first. The skill is an expression of whatever I have, my foundation from my physical development. And so if I have any mechanical compensations, dropping my hands, flying over, whatever it may be, for our youth players, 8 to 18 years old, it's almost always a physical limitation. So we, the strength coach and the skill coach, have to work together to then help that athlete, you know, achieve the things they need to achieve. And I think that's why we went the direction that we went.
Yeah, and I'll share my experiences. You know, when I was growing up and then when I was given lessons, I did not do one-to-one growing up, doing less, like me being the athlete. That environment did not help me, you know, be better. It was always group setting, 5-to-1, 10-to-1, more environment like that. I did not do one-on-one lesson ever. And then when I started to coach, you know, at the college level, and then, you know, train and give lessons at the facilities there, one-to-ones were my least favorite. You know, it's boring. You know, you're trying to interact, you know, with an 8-year-old all the way to a high school, even a college kid at times. It's just like, one, communication is a lost art within our era. You know, these kids, they can text, but they can't talk, you know? So now they're out of their comfort zone because they're like, they have to like talk to you. And then, you know, it can be just very, like I said, boring in a way, you know, where the 3-to-1, 4-to-1s, whether it was a defensive lesson, hitting lesson, whatever I was given at the time, those are lively, you know. They got their peers, they're competing, you know, they don't want to be the worst one of the group, right? But it's a way better environment for everyone. Everyone feels more comfortable because they're not kind of singled out, you know. So it's just a perspective on that, you know.
Let's use some buzzwords that all coaches use. We need to replicate the game environment, right? Can you replicate the game environment when there's one-on-one? You know, with without anything else going on? Of course not. So if we do, and, you know, there's a counter argument to, like, how much replicating the game environment helps you, but let's just use it. Like, you can't replicate a game environment in that environment. You can't make things competitive. You can't make things engaging. It's just blah.
I think the other and the common lesson is the parents there. Yeah. Like, you really, like, you're not going to get to know an athlete and genuinely build a strong relationship with them if the parents there, because they're always going to be on guard. You're not going to really see where they're at, and then you can't actually like reach them, because again, there's now this
wall.
There's a wall there, because that's another reason we, like, parents hate it here, but we don't let parents in the facility. We'll let them in like the first time and check it out and see, meet the staff, get comfortable. After that, like, you got to trust. You got to free your kid to go into the environment. I know. We used to, at Westmont, shout out to the Westmont crew. cut the cord. Like, you got to cut the umbilical cord. You got to let your kid go into the world and experience it and let them sink or swim. And I think a lot of parents are afraid to do that, and that's why they go the lesson long.
For sure. And to kind of wrap it all up, just with what we're talking about in the environment we've created here, like the ultra-fast success we've had and the amount of players we're pumping out to the next level, which is usually the end game for paying $100 an hour for a lesson, is they want them to get to the next level. They don't want them to be where they're at. I think is a really good testament to, like, hey, like, there is a better way to do this. There is a science-based way to do this. There is a competitive, engaging way to do this. You just have to kind of take that leap.
In all reality, sorry, I said another cut you off, Kurt. You're gonna pay less money. Yeah. Like, you're like, for 2.5 hours here, for the rates that we pay, it's very, very valuable relative to the $100 per session.
Yeah, on that too, we don't charge enough. So, you know, if you are an athlete or a parent listening, you guys, you know, better get in now, because I know as our conversations grow, I always say we need to charge more, especially for what we provide, the experience the athlete gets. You know, this place is going to grow in the right way, you know, and it's going to grow in the right way because we're athlete centered. But just to give my kind of last outlook on the one-on-one lesson is, you know, obviously it's a blessing and capability, but, you know, the one-on-one lesson should be the one or second person that's in your life, whether that's your dad, your stepdad, your uncle, that should be your one-on-one lesson there, you know. Outside of that, you know, if it is another baseball guy, if they're not within your inner circle of probably 3 to 5 most important people in your lives, you know, you're going to lose some empathy and love there, you know, because it's going to get money specific. So, you know, for your dads out there that are capable, or stepdads or uncles, whatever, maybe cousin, you guys are in charge of that one-on-one time with that athlete. You know, and other than that, you know, if it's up to the athlete, they're going to perform in an environment that is 2-1, 3-1, 4-1, 10-1, because most of them are, they're going to learn more by seeing, you know. I can guarantee if they see another athlete doing it or two other athletes doing it, they're going to learn more because they're going to see either what that athlete is doing right or wrong, just to give an outlook on that.
Yeah, I got one last thing. Challenge for the coaches who are running lessons. There are opportunities within a bullpen or a hitting session for kids to rest. They need to rest. You can't throw 40 pitches in a row. You can't take 100 swings in a row. Knowing that, you can do a small group environment, have 2 to 3 kids in that group. All of those kids charge less money, and you ultimately make more money per hour. That's the challenge I'm going to give you, because that is truly at least a bridging the gaps to what we do. If you are so bought in on one-on-one, then it's purely and it's very clear, you just care about making some money on the side. It has nothing to do with making athletes better. Because if you really do care about making athletes better and more athletes better, is you would be able to, you would find ways to work with more athletes. And that's probably, again, why the business model, we've set it that way, is we want to work with as many athletes as possible. And so we set up our environment to do that.
All right, thank you very much. So just kind of last things, if this did hurt your feelings at all, no one cares.
Baseball.dobbin@gmail.com.
Yeah. Please go try to fix it, because it needs to happen.
408.
Yeah, I'll be here whenever you need me. I'm at KPI. But please understand that we do drive athletes first. And if you want to come check it out for yourself, come check it out. Follow us on social media, KPI Baseball. If you want to leave a bad comment, helps me out regardless. You just left a comment. So please come figure it out for yourself. Come see what we do. Come see what we're about. And then once again, please follow us on all our social medias at KPI Baseball. Follow us on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and then go follow us on YouTube at Kinetic Performance Institute. Thank you guys very much for listening. Have a great day.